Good evening again. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn to the 119th Psalm, as is our normal custom, has been since back in December on Wednesday evenings. We'll be looking at a new 8-verse section of the 119th Psalm this evening, and trust the Lord will bless in our study. Psalm 119, we'll be looking at verses 41 through 48 over the next several Wednesdays, and we'll begin and read those 8 verses just now. Verse 41 says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." We'll be looking at just one verse this evening, probably, maybe even again in the next message, but he says there in Psalm 41, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the time that you've given us this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that has brought us here. You've guided each one safely. We pray, Lord, that you might take us home safely at the conclusion of our meeting. We thank you, Father, for your grace through the week. We ask your blessings upon the word as we do our best to proclaim those things and those truths that you have given us throughout the week. We ask, Lord, that you might, even as we speak, bring to our mind those things that we may not have pondered or thought about during the preparation, and so that your spirit may be in full charge as we go through the service. We ask your blessings upon Brother Hilly as he is traveling and making his way to Peru. We pray for safety there. Pray for all those things that need to be connected and all the things that need to fall in place. We ask your grace and guidance there. Bless the Hilly family as he's gone, and keep them safe as well, and provide their needs also. Go with us now through the service, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. So he says here, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." I think it's safe to say, and we can say for all of God's people, that the child of God, with uprightness of heart, is not haughty in heart or proud in his heart. As a general rule, if we're in right relationship with God, we are aware that what we have is by the grace of God. And so there are times when when pride raises its ugly head. There are times when we do and are haughty before God. But as a general rule, God's people realize that all that they have is by the grace of God. Amen. And in fact, in our 119th Psalm here in verse 17 or 7, he says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." And so that is a humility expressed there and evidence there by that statement. And so as we come to God in that manner and we progress in our Christian life with that attitude, so we're well aware of our needs. And we're well aware of who can and will supply those needs. And we're ever asking God that those needs be met. And fifthly, expecting that they will be met according to the grace of God. This whole psalm, 176 verses, is to remind us of our need of Him and how we receive that need through His Almighty, His foundational Word, of which the Savior, Jesus Christ, is the chief cornerstone. So we come not in a haughty manner, but with humility. You see, pride has a blinding effect. It tends to hide our sin from our minds and from our view. It blocks out our view of our Savior, this sin. And we don't see our guilt as we should. And so we do not ask for God's mercy. David expresses a tremendously humble spirit throughout this psalm. And any time we find David speaking, whether it be in the Psalms or as we look at his life there in the Samuel and Kings and those books of Scripture, he has always expressed a humble spirit. And that would continue to exist in David for the most part of his life. We see that humble spirit here in this 176th psalm. He is constantly acknowledging that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Whether he states it in that manner, he's aware of that. And he realizes that all he is, and all that he has, and all that he is promised to be through God's Word are mercies of a gracious and a loving God. That they are unmerited favors. The word mercy that we have here in our text this evening, he says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord." Mercy is a loving kindness. And Webster's 1828 dictionary says concerning mercy, it says, it is that benevolence and mildness or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. And certainly, God has done that to us, haven't He? I have more than I deserve. It goes on to say it's the disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person, or that person offended, to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less punishment than law or justice will warrant. And so in this sense, the dictionary goes on to say there is perhaps no word in our English language precisely synonymous with mercy. You know, when you're talking about God, it's hard to find words to describe Him. Amen. I can find words to describe myself. I can find words to describe others. But I'm at a loss sometimes when I'm studying and I'm looking at a subject concerning God, and I'm just at a loss for words. And I'll sit there and look at the page for minutes after minutes, and maybe half an hour, and I haven't written the first word on my notes. Brother Hilly called me the other evening and wanted to know how the message was going. I said, well, I've got one paragraph on one sheet of paper and a bunch of pieces of paper in the trash can. So that's where I'm at. But it goes on to say, so when we try to divulge what God's Word is saying to a people and even to our own mind, we just get at a loss sometimes. And so the closest word that we can come to the mercy of God is the grace of God. And there is a difference, and I don't know exactly what it is. And it goes on to say it implies benevolence and tenderness and mildness and pity or compassion and clemency. But it's exercised only towards offenders. That is mercy. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. We've been going through the attributes. Frankie's taught lessons. Brother Hilly's taught lessons. And I have one coming up. These things and these what we call attributes or characteristics of God. And sometimes we just stand here and blah, 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 blah. You know, trying to explain these things. Trying to explain a supreme God. In Numbers chapter 14, in verse 17, it says, and now I beseech thee, Moses interceding here to God for the people who have been disobedient. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty. You see, God has mercy, but the sinner is also going to pay a price for an offense, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And so he goes on, he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. There we see an example of the mercy of God. And so as a child of God, we realize that all we have and all we are and all God says we will be is not because of who we are or what we've done, but of the mercies of a gracious God. And so they are unmerited favors. David in this psalm is humbly prayed to be taught. If you'll notice there in that last portion of those eight verse verse 33 through 40, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Verse 34, give me understanding. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. And so there he humbly prayed to God because he was ignorant. He said, teach me, give me understanding. He was ignorant, although he might have known the Word of God, he might have a memorization of the Word of God, But he was ignorant of understanding the practical application of God's Word. And so that's why we come to God. I can read His Word. And even with my frail mind, I can remember and memorize certain things. That doesn't mean I understand it. And so I'm constantly coming to God and saying, Lord, help me. Somebody else should be preaching this message and not me, who's got a better mind. I think every preacher acknowledges that and will admit that. And so he prays to be taught because he was ignorant. And now, in this verse, he says, let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to the word. So now he's pleading for mercy because he's guilty. You know, if we weren't guilty, we wouldn't need mercy, would we? Those men that we go to in the jail, and women that they go to in jail, they're going to stand before a judge. And the reason they stand before a judge is because they're guilty. And we shall one day stand before the judge of all earth. And we shall give account. And we'll stand there because we're guilty. And so David is a sinner saved by grace like you and I were. And so he's pleading for the mercy of God and acknowledging in that plea that he was guilty. He understands what a wretched man he was and is apart from the grace of God. You know, to ask for mercy is a sign of true Christian character. And I just wonder if you might think with me about your life and the thoughts that you have towards God and the prayers that you offer up to God. Have I been aware that God has been merciful to me, and have I acknowledged that to God? And preparing this message, I begin to think about my prayers. And Lord, am I coming to you and asking for mercy, or I just have an arrogant nature as if I deserve what I have and what I get? So to ask for mercy is a sign of true Christian character. Man. See, to be unaware of any need save our own selfish material ones regarding our Master and His kingdom is to show a calloused heart and a numbness to anything spiritual. If we are not pleading the mercies of our Master, something's wrong in our life. You know, as Christians, we beg for mercy, that is, of life eternal. And don't we still have a need of our Master's mercy after God has saved us to tend His vineyard, to do the things He'd have us to do, to uphold the arms of a pastor? To work in his church and to do the things that have us to do. We have a need of the mercy of God. Give us these graces, Lord, that we need out of your mercy to do what you'd have us to do. And we should have that attitude till he comes back and gets us. Till we draw our last breath. And I make this statement. It seems to me that this plea for mercy is so absent in our prayers today. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You see? Why is this plea for mercy so absent? Remember the definition of mercy. And upon whom is mercy shown? It's shown to offenders. Do we not realize that we've offended God somehow? I'm not quite as perfect as I think I am in God's eye. My prayers ought to be saturated pleading for the mercy of God. Jesus, with our sin upon Him, prayed for mercy for us, didn't He? He sympathized with our feelings, with our weaknesses. And He had a feeling for our infirmities. He was touched by those things. And that great prayer or psalm of the cross in Psalm 22. Notice this is as if God Himself, Christ Himself, were speaking. David speaks here, and many of these verses are verses that Christ spoke Himself. That's why they call it the Psalm of the Cross. God is merciful to us. And David is pleading that. Psalm 22, verse 1, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Is not that asking for mercy? If it's not, I don't know what it's saying. Verse 2 says, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the nighttime, in the night season, and not silent. Is he asking for what he deserves? No, he's asking for what he doesn't deserve. He's wanting the mercy of God. Amen. Verse 11, he says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. I need your mercy, Lord, is what he's saying. Verse 19, be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Be merciful. He's crying out for mercy of God. And verse 20 and 21, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Of which all those things we deserve, but by God's mercy we don't receive. The reason He died, that is the Lord Jesus, revealed that He saw our need. By grace, that is His grace, we are saved. In Luke chapter 18, turn over there with me a minute and let's notice how one can look at the Lord and the other can look at the Lord in a completely different way. One proud, one broken and humble and desiring the mercy of God. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, the beginning of this chapter, he gives a couple parables here. Verses 1 through 8 is the parable of the woman. Let me just read that to get the flow of the context. Luke 18, verse 1, he spake a parable unto them, that is, Jesus did, to this end, that men might always to pray and not to faint. And there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. That is, this was just an ungodly judge. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, which is what we just read. And so by comparison, he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though they bear long with them? He said, here is an earthly judge, an ungodly judge, and he showed mercy upon this woman who continually came unto him. Do we think God is going to do that any less to us, his people? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now in verse 9 he says, and he spake this, here's another parable. unto certain, notice, which trusted in themselves, who were proud and arrogant, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. We know this by heart almost. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican, or a sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What a tremendous man he was. He didn't need any mercy, did he? He was self-contained. He had all he needed. And the publican standing afar off. Now, by contrast, Jesus is telling this parable. He said, here's a man who's very proud. Now, here's a publican. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house, that is the sinner, justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He was justified. You know how he was justified? By faith in Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The convicted sinner cried, be merciful to me. The arrogant, self-righteous Pharisee was saying in verse 11 and 12, there be merciful to him, I don't need it. He stood and prayed, I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, or even as a publican, I fast, I did all these things. He was saying, you know, I don't need any mercy. God, give it to him. He's the one that needs it. Do you see how great he viewed his service, which in reality was so insignificant? He had only done what was required by the law. He hadn't done anything above that. And nothing more. No heart service was offered by this Pharisee. He never really cared whether he pleased God. He just wanted to please men. He was not seeking the glory of God. My friend, we need God's mercy because we are self-righteous, self-deceived sinners. All come that way. And even after God has saved us, I'm afraid many of us, and so often have we all, fell into that self-righteous attitude and are deceived by the sin that's in our life. And so we say, Lord, I don't need your mercy. We need God's mercy. Because we are weary of heart and our faith is failing. It says there, and he spake this parable unto them to this end, that men might always pray and not to faint. That's to remind us that there is a merciful God that we need. You know why we don't want to ask for mercy? Because it's an indication as well as an indictment by asking for mercy that we haven't been as faithful as we think. Go on down in Luke 18 and look at verse 21 where Jesus encounters this certain young man, verse 18. Luke 18:18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He had the same problem that the Pharisees did, but he didn't know it. 19, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Jesus says, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now here's how God proved him and proved what was in his heart. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. We don't want to ask for mercy. This rich young man didn't follow after Christ because it would reveal the failure to follow after Christ revealed what his heart really contained. This man was rich. Here's a picture of you and I before God saved us. He was rich. In other words, he was independent of God's bounty. You know, if you're not going to come to God who has everything, you are in a sense saying, I have all I need. So in a sense, in your mind, you think you're rich. Or why wouldn't you come to the God of all grace? So by the riches, we see that he is independent of trusting God. And by that he was young, it shows that he's independent of God's strength. I can handle everything myself. And it says that he was a ruler. He didn't want to bow before the rule of God. So this rich young ruler is a picture of the lost professor. He hadn't kept the first commandment. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the riches were his God. So he was guilty of all the others, wasn't he? Just as we were dependent on God's mercy to save us, you see, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were casting ourselves upon him. We were admitting that we had nothing and that we needed God's mercy. That's what happens when we come to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, Here's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 through 1, 2, and 3. This is what we did. And it says, you hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is where we were. Dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were, and that's what we did. We walked according to the course of this world. We had our conversation, our life. It was nothing but fulfilling what we wanted, the desires of the flesh and the mind. But just as we were independent, when we cried out to God, when grace showed us where we were, we became dependent on God and His mercy to save us. So verse 1 and 2 and 3 is what we did and where we were. And verses 8 and 9 is what He did. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I tell those men in the jail, you know, people get confused about believing. What this, they make it complicated. The world's preachers make it complicated. Believing is simply taking God at His word and believing that He said He would save us when we cry out to Him. And He does just that. David saw his great need not only when the Lord saved him, we don't know when that was exactly, but even after that, he continued to see his great need. And by seeing his great need, his great offenses, he cried, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord." He wanted an overflowing of mercy. The Bible speaks of mercy as abundant mercy, as it was when it was given to us in salvation in 1 Peter chapter 1. There's all kinds of mercy. We could preach on this forever, I'm sure. In 1 Peter 1 and 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." How did he beget us? How did He make us one of His children? Through faith in the death and burial of a resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we have an inheritance incorruptible and defiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. So His mercy is abundant. His mercy is great. Such as it will be when God regathers Israel. In Isaiah 54, in verse 7 there, it makes this claim. It says, For a small moment have I forsaken thee. That is, when God was judging the nation of Israel. But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. So God's mercy is abundant. It's a great mercy. And He'll show that upon Israel when He regathers them. And His mercies are sure. They are as sure as His covenants. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, just down a few verses there, in verse 3, it says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." He's speaking of the nation of Israel. Even the sure mercies of David. Every covenant that God ever made with His people, and the covenant of salvation that He made with you and I through Christ, are sure mercies of God. We didn't earn them or warrant them. They're mercies. And they're tender mercies. Oh, how tender is His mercy. And they're new mercies. Because every day when we face new challenges, we need God's mercy. And God's mercy, though, is the same mercy. It seems new to us. His mercies are new every morning, the Scripture says. So David, when he cries out here in this psalm, knew, he says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord." There was no doubt in his mind that when he called out to God, that he would find real mercy. "Let thy mercies come also unto me." He knew he could only find mercy in God. So he asked only from God, who was the one who only could give mercy. In verse 21, he goes on to say, David prays that God's mercies may come also unto me. You know, we present many hindrances to God's mercies. We have a deceptive heart so often. And that deceptive heart may convince us we have no need of the Lord. We get a little self-righteous, as that rich young ruler did. The coldness of heart sets in, which continues to prevent us from seeing our need. We become lukewarm, as we find in Revelation 3:16. And so David prays that God's mercies will come unto him, because certainly we don't come unto God for mercies, do we? Oh, that's we'd have to get down too low. In every case of God's dealing with you and I and with men, it is God who brings His goodness to us. And if you want a psalm that'll make you think a while, it is the epitome of the mercy of God. In Psalm 136, it's 26 verses. And in those 26 verses, it ends with, "For His mercy endureth forever." It begins, "You'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." And everything that it states there that God does, it ends that statement by saying, "For His mercy endureth forever." In other words, everything that has been done for us is by the mercy of God. It's the foundation of His character that is His mercy, and the basis of His actions. It underlies His goodness. "You'll give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." It marks Him out as the only true God. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." Oh, give thanks, verse 3, "to the Lord of lords." Amen. There's no other God, no other Lord. And so His mercy declares Him and marks Him out as the only true God. His mercy is the basis for His wondrous acts in creation. Verses 4 through 9, He goes on to describe what God has done. The great wonders. He made the heavens and stretched out the earth above the waters and made great lights, the sun and the moon. It's the basis for everything that He has done for us is the mercy of God. His mercy is the basis of His deliverance and redemption of His people from Pharaoh when they came out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea when He parted the waters. That was the mercy of God. It was mercy whereby He led them through the wilderness for 40 years, and their clothes didn't wax old or their shoes didn't wear out, and they had food to eat. If nothing else, they had manna for 40 days or 40 years. And you talk about mercy, because their sins could have consumed them, and it did many of them. But God was merciful. The mercy of God defeated their enemies throughout the history of Israel, and still preserves them now, and will one day present them safe in the land of Israel throughout all eternity. And mercy will continue to preserve them, as it does us. Mercy will preserve His kingdom in heaven, as He closes in that verse 26 of Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." So our attitude should not be like the Pharisees there in Matthew chapter 9, where they too prayed, who didn't want to learn. What what they pretended to know, but they didn't. You know what? God is merciful to those who will cast themselves upon Him. 2 Samuel. God is merciful to those who will cast themselves upon Him. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 14. It's David. Then David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. Oh, we seem to be worried so much about man, what they're going to think, what they're going to do when we stand and proclaim the gospel. We need to be fearing God and being looking to His mercy. He said, I'm as great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. God, or David knew where his bread was buttered, so to speak. He knew where his mercies came from. So God will be merciful to those who cast themselves upon Him. And He will be merciful to those who are looking for mercy. I ask you this evening, are you looking for mercy? Do you know you're a sinner? Have you seen your life as it's fleeting by and it hasn't changed any? And you're still without Christ as Savior. I ask you and trust you, or ask you to trust Him as your Savior. We're going to close our service this evening. I'll pray. And Brother Clarence, if you would, you can pray after me, and then we'll be dismissed.